Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, reads this way: Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. I'm going to speak this morning about how Christians need to be good merchants. And a merchant is a businessman, someone who buys and sells. And a businessman, of course, wants to use his money in the best possible way. How can I make a profit, right? I want to get a good item when I buy for my money, and when I sell it, I want to be able to make some kind of profit so I can earn money to live by. And so Christians need to be good merchants also. We need to be in the business of buying and selling, but not material goods, not with money, but in the spiritual realm. And in Proverbs 23, verse 23, it tells us what we need to buy and how once we buy it, we should never sell it again. Because it's so good, you can never gain a profit by losing it or selling it. Let's see what it's saying. See, the text very naturally breaks down into two divisions. The first consists of a positive command. What's it tell us? Buy the truth. Right? And then the second consists of a negative command. Sell it not. And that again is a reference to the truth. Don't sell the truth. Now let's try to see what this verse means. First of all, when it says buy the truth, that word buy is a commercial term, which has to do with purchasing something. And the idea is this. Lay out any expense or bear any cost, pay any price to gain the truth. In other words, be willing to endure any pains or labors or sufferings or costs or efforts or sacrifices or losses that may be necessary to purchase God's truth. In other words, it doesn't always come easy. There's a price to pay. It's going to cost us something, but it's well worth the expense. And so God's telling us here, don't withhold whatever it takes to get it. Be willing to pay the price. Well, then we need to ask, what is the truth that we should buy, right? I need to know what it is before I can buy it. Well, John 17:17 said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is called the truth. And specifically, it would be a reference to the gospel. The gospel is the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:5 calls it the word of the truth of the gospel. We need to know what the gospel has to offer us. The gospel tells us of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He himself is the sum and substance of the truth. Remember what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, in the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said he's the truth. So if you want to have the truth, who do you have to have? Jesus Christ. And where are we told about Jesus Christ? Only one place. The inspired word of God. The Holy Scriptures. The Bible. Ephesians 4:21 says that the truth is in Jesus. So if you want it, you have to go to him to get it. He has it. It's in him. And the truth is that there is salvation to be had in Jesus Christ. Salvation is deliverance from sin and all its consequences. See, we're in great danger because of our sin. We're facing the wrath and judgment of God, and Jesus can rescue us or deliver us from our sin and the punishment our sin deserves. And that's why in Psalm 69:13, the psalmist prays, deliver me in the truth of thy salvation. That's the greatest, most important, and most precious truth of all. How we can be right with God through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know what the truth is. We need to know, why is the truth worth buying? What is there about this truth that is so good I should be willing to give everything up and do whatever it takes to get it? Well, we need to be convinced of the surpassing and superlative worth of the truth. In other words, the truth is the greatest thing of all. Nothing is more important, nothing is more valuable than the truth. It's the one thing that is really needful. If a man has to go without everything else in the world, he's all right as long as he has salvation. But if you have everything else the world has to give and you don't have salvation, you're still missing, you're still lacking the one most important thing of all. It's the one thing needful. In other words, whatever it costs you to purchase the truth, even if it costs you all your friends, costs you your, you know, your money and your possessions and your life and whatever, if these things are as nothing in comparison of what you will gain in having the truth. In other words, it's a good bargain to get the truth, no matter what the cost. You can never pay too much for it. You can never get the truth and say, oh, it's not worth whatever I had to give up for it. That'll never happen. Remember what Proverbs says? Proverbs compares the most valuable, the most precious, and the most costly things on this earth and says, compared to wisdom, compared to the knowledge of God, there is nothing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. You want to be a happy man? Find wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. And the gain thereof is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Nothing is equal to, nothing rivals, nothing comes close to godly wisdom. None of the things of this world, and no matter how valuable they are, you had your house full of gold and silver and precious jewels, rubies and sapphires, it says that wouldn't be as good as having God's truth. Remember what chapter 4 said? Get wisdom. Get understanding. You know what that word get is? Same word as the word buy in chapter 23. Buy it. Get it. No matter what. It's so valuable. You have to have it. You can't go without it. And he says, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Right? Wisdom is found in God's word. And verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. It's the first thing. It's the most important thing. The most necessary thing. That's what principle means. So, with all you're getting, whatever it takes, put forth every effort to get it. Or, chapter 16, verse 16. Same idea. How much better is it? In other words, it's so much better you can't even express it. To get wisdom than gold. And to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. How many people in this world would choose the Bible above $1 million? Not too many. And God's saying, if you have a proper value judgment, if your priorities are right, if you see things as they truly are, you'll put God's word, the truth, above anything this world can offer. Or even all the riches of 10,000 worlds would not even come close to the value of the salvation of our soul. In other words, we need to be like the wise merchant. Remember when I said we need to be merchants? We need to be good merchants? You want to know what a wise merchant does? Look at Matthew 13. If you want to see, Matthew 13, verse 45 and verse 46. Jesus is talking here about the truth of the kingdom. Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Now here's a man who goes around buying pearls to sell. That's how he makes his living. So he's out looking for pearls, and what's he come across? Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he saw a pearl that was like no other pearl in the world. That was the most valuable pearl that he'd ever seen. It was so valuable, you know what he did? He went and he sold all that he had and he bought it. When we look over the world and everything that's offered, we find out about Jesus Christ and salvation. You know what we should say? Compared to that, everything else is not worth having. And we'd be willing to give it all up if only we could have our soul and eternal life. That's what it's saying here. You see, wisdom means to attain the highest ends by the best means. In other words, you set your goal, you say, that's what I need to get, and here's the best way to get it. Well, the most important thing to gain is the glory of God and the salvation of men. And the only way to gain it is through Jesus Christ. There's no salvation except in Him. See, the 1 Corinthians calls Jesus Christ the wisdom of God. He's the essential wisdom of God because He's the Son of God, the Word of God. But He's also the wisdom of God in that the only method that a sinner can be made right with God is through Jesus Christ and what He did for us. And so God's wisdom found a way for us to have our sin forgiven so that we could be saved. And that was through the work of Christ. And so He's God's wisdom in the sense that the glory of God and the salvation of men can only be had by Him. So that's how God did it. Alright, so we found out what the truth is. We found out how valuable the truth is. How do we buy it? Because it says buy the truth. How do we buy it? Here's what it says. The first thing you need to realize is where it is. Where do you get it? Right? You can't buy something if you don't know where it's located. So we need to realize that the truth or salvation can only be had from Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3:18, you know what he says? I counsel you to buy of me. So he says, I'm a seller. And if you want some good advice, come to me. And I'll sell you what you need. Buy it from me. Don't go anywhere else. You know what Peter said? When Jesus asked, are you going to leave me? You know what Peter said? To whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go. You're the only one who can give us that. If we leave you, we're lost forever. And so he's saying, come to me. Or you say, well, okay, I'll come, but how much do I have to bring? You know, right? Do I have enough in my checkbook? Okay. Well, the next thing you need to know is that Jesus gives the truth, or He gives salvation, of free grace only. In other words, we can't earn it, we can't work for it, we can't deserve it, we can't merit it, it's a free gift. So when He says, come and buy it of me, He says, I'll give it to you for free. Remember what Isaiah said? I want to read you one verse out of Isaiah. Listen to this. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Are you thirsty? Come to eat to the waters. Best place for a thirsty man is in the water, right? That's where he gets his thirst satisfied. And he that hath no money. Well, how much does money, water cost? Well, he's saying, if you have no money, come buy and eat. Wait a minute, what do you mean if you have no money, come buy? Does that make sense? Come buy if you have no money? Yea, come, buy wine and milk, the very best things. Without money and without price. So what he's saying is, I have it. I'll give it to you. If you want to buy it, you have to get it from me, but I give it as a free gift. There's no cost. And so just come. But yet, he does require something. He requires that we be willing to use the means that he has ordained, by which the truth is gained. Now, there are certain things we have to do to gain the truth, And we have to be willing to obey Him and use those means that He has provided and look to Him to bless those means so that they will accomplish their purpose in our lives, so that we will be successful in using the means. Right? What are the means? Well, you know what Jesus said in John 5:39? Search the Scriptures. That means ransack the Scriptures. Go through the Scriptures from top to bottom. In other words, search out the length and breadth of the land of God's Word. Find out what He says. And study and meditate and apply His truth to your life. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. You want to be approved by God? You need to study His Word. And that means due diligence. You can't be lazy. You can't be on again, off again. It can't be an occasional thing. He means study it day and night. And then shall you prosper. And then you'll have good success in all that you do. You know why? This book is like a gold mine. And if you knew there was gold in a mine, you wouldn't mind digging, would you? You would dig hard. You'd dig as long until you found that gold. Because you knew, once you found it, you were a rich man. Well, you know what he says here? There are riches, eternal riches, true riches, spiritual riches in the Bible. It says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible can give you the wisdom to know how to be saved. And it's by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. That's the greatest treasure of all, is contained here in the Scriptures. Then we need to pray fervently. In other words, study alone will not give us the knowledge of the truth. We have to ask God to enable us to understand the Bible. We can't understand it with our own minds. We need His Holy Spirit to teach us. And so James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, lift up your voice to God in prayer and say, Lord, it's here. I need to see it. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy law. Open my heart to receive your word. Open my understanding to know what it's saying. And give me the will and the grace to obey it. It says in Proverbs chapter 2, it says, if you incline your ear unto wisdom, if you apply your heart to understanding, that means give yourself all completely to knowing it. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures. Notice, they're hid treasures. You got to dig. You got to work. You got to bring them up. Then he says, shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How serious are you? How important is this to you? Does it really matter? God doesn't leave silver and gold lying on the top of the ground, does he? You have to do some work to find it. It's hidden in the bowels of the earth. Well, in the Scriptures are the most precious truths that can be known to man. And yet, they don't just fall into our laps. We've got to go looking for it. And God will bless us if we're serious and if we're persistent. So we need to pray. And specifically, we need to pray for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one who can give us the understanding of the Scriptures. He's the only one who can teach us God's Word so we can really know it in a saving way. So that it really impacts our lives. Jesus said this. He said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. Right? When the Spirit comes, He will be the one to teach you. That's why it says the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, and that they're foolishness to him. He cannot know them, because they're spiritually discerned, and he has not the Spirit. And then there's one more thing we need to do. How can I know if something's true or not? There's a lot of people saying a lot of conflicting things that don't at all agree. How can I know who's right? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things. That means put everything to the test. Don't just take it at face value. Check it out and find out for sure if it is right. A lot of people are telling people a lot of lies out there. We need to be sure that we are not going to be taken in. So bring everything to the test of God's Word. Is that what the Bible really teaches? And if you find out that it is true, it says hold fast to that which is good. If it's true, accept it and never let it go. If it's false, reject it and don't pay any attention to it. But we need to check the Scriptures. You know, it says to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. All right, now we've been saying buy something that doesn't have a price tag to it. But you know what? It will cost you something. We already saw it's going to cost a lot of effort, right? A lot of labor. But the labor will be well, abundantly repaid. But you know what it will cost you? It will cost you your sin. You cannot find the truth. You cannot have salvation and keep your sin. That's the one thing it'll cost you. You have to give up your sin and yourself. In other words, you cannot live for yourself. You have to deny yourself. You cannot have sin and have Jesus Christ at the same time. If you saw a lot of silver and gold, and you had a pile of garbage in your hand, what would you have to do with that pile of garbage? You have to let go of it to pick up the silver and gold, right? You can't pick up something if your hands are full. You can't take a hold of Jesus Christ if your hands are full of sin. You have to cleanse your hands, put that sin away, be done with it, repent, and then you can take hold of Christ and what He has for you. So, it'll cost you your sin, and that's hard. Sin is in us so much, and it's become so much a part of our lives that it's almost like a piece of our body. How would you like to have to cut off a piece of your body to get something? That would be hard, right? You know what Jesus said? He says, if your right eye offend you, pluck it out. Right? If your right eye makes you sin, take it out. And cast it from you. Throw it away. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Isn't it better to lose your eye for your lifetime than to have your whole body go into fire for eternity? If your right hand offend thee or makes you sin, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now what's he saying? Is he saying we ought to mutilate ourselves and amputate ourselves? No. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's going to be so hard to give up sin, it'll be almost like cutting off some very important and necessary part of your body. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. It's going to be like getting rid of something so much a part of you that you can hardly part with it. And yet he says it's better to do that than to be damned for that sin forever in the lake of fire. That's what it costs you. In other words, give up everything and anything that would keep you from attaining to God's truth. And sin will always do that. And then we need to receive God's truth. Right? We give up sin and we take in God's truth in the love and the faith and the obedience of it. We believe it, we love it, and then we obey it. And let me show you what Paul said in Thessalonians. Chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. See, a lot of people will give the truth lip service. They'll let it get into their heads, but they'll never really let it form their lives. And so here's what he's saying. He's talking about how the devil deceives people. You know what he says? The devil comes with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. See, sin is deceitful. You know what it means? Sin will fool you. It'll trick you. It'll promise you something good, and then it'll always fail to keep its promise. It'll never deliver what it offers. And it does that in those that perish. Why do people perish? That means, why do people die in their sins and go to hell? You want to know why? because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's why people are in hell today. They would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, they enjoyed sinning. They refused to believe and love and obey the truth. And for that reason, they were damned. You see the problem? I prefer my sin to Christ. That's what they say. This is the very place where fools fail. A fool is the opposite of a wise man. A wise man will buy the truth no matter what the cost. A fool will give the truth up because he says the cost is too high. I can't pay. See, they think the cost is too much. No, I can't give up my sin. That's asking too much. They don't value the prize aright. My soul's eternal salvation, so what? If I go to hell, all my buddies are there anyway, right? That's how they talk. You ever heard that? They will not pay the price that's necessary to be saved. And that's why I'll read you another couple of verses in Proverbs, chapter 17 and verse 16. It says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? In other words, he comes to Jesus and says, oh, Jesus, look, I have a price in my hand. I want to buy wisdom. I want to be saved. But in his heart, he's not willing to give up his sin. He's not willing to change. You know what he says? Why does he even come? Why does he even ask to buy, to try? Why does he even try to get wisdom? He's not serious. He's not sincere. He doesn't really want it. He's not willing to do what it takes. He won't get it. See, it's an abomination to fools to depart from evil. That's the last thing they want to do is give up their sins. Oh yeah, they'd like to go to heaven. They like to think that they're forgiven, but they're not willing to give up their sins to really know that. Chapter 24, verse 7, you know what it says there? Wisdom is too high for a fool. He says, it's free. It's a gift. Just give up your sin. Stop living for yourself. Come to me, and you can have the greatest thing of all, salvation. Eternal life. Your sins forgiven. You can be right with God. You know what he says? Too high. Can't do it. When someone says that, you know what they're saying? Whatever I'm not willing to pay is more valuable than whatever it is you're offering me. No, I can't pay that much for that. In other words, you're asking too much. So what they're saying is their sin is more valuable than what Jesus offers them because they're not willing to pay for what he has by giving it up. It's too high a price. They will not pay. So don't be a fool. Be wise. See, a fool does not understand that no matter what costs him as far as the things of this life are concerned, it's still a good bargain to gain his soul and the favor of God in heaven is his eternal home. But he says, no, I can't do it. See, Jesus set down a requirement, and this is a requirement that we have to fulfill to come to him. Notice what he says. He said, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You've got to say no to yourself, say whatever you say, Lord. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's a bad bargain. Oh, if you could have the whole world and you lost your soul forever, you didn't gain a thing, did you? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Therefore, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. In other words, if you're not willing to believe and obey his words in this evil age, that's like saying you're ashamed of Jesus and you don't want him as your Savior. So we need to be willing to pay the price, to give up our sin, and to stop ruling our own lives. All right, now let's look at the last part of the verse for a very short moment. He says, buy the truth, and then what else would he tell us? Don't sell it, right? Whereas once you buy it, once you get it, don't give it up. That's Proverbs 23:23 again. Once you have gained the truth, never give it up for any reason whatsoever. Do not depart from the truth. Do not forsake Jesus Christ. Do not deny him and turn your back on the salvation he offers for all the pleasures and riches and honors of this world. A lot of people do that. Well, I have certain pleasures I enjoy, or I have certain riches I want to make, or I have certain positions and powers I want to gain. And so what happens is they hear about Christ and they refuse him. Or they make an outward show of accepting him and then they turn away from him again. Alright, so don't be bought off by the pleasures and riches and honors of this world. And don't be scared off. A lot of people are scared off. You know what it costs them? Sometimes it costs them their friends. Sometimes it costs them their reputation. You get saved and you become a Christian, you start living for Jesus Christ, and what happens? People start ridiculing you, they start mocking you, they hate you, they threaten you, they persecute you, and they try to get you to give up your faith in the Lord. And they use all these, you know, power tactics against you. You know, I'll kill you if you don't stop being a Christian or whatever, or I'll do something to you to hurt you because you're a believer now. Well, don't let that frighten you. Never let go of the truth just because someone tries to take it from you or tries to get you to give it up. For no reason whatsoever should you sell the truth once you have it. Hold it fast. The Bible talks about holding fast the form of sound words and keeping that which has been given to you. And that means hold it firm, hold it strong, and never let it go. In other words, the truth is your life. You're going to give up your life, that evening, your eternal life. You're going to let that be either bought from you, or you're going to let someone threaten you or hurt you to take it from you, to rob you of it. No, you can't do that. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. You've given me life by your truth, and I can never give up that for any reason. In other words, never. Determined by God's grace never to sacrifice even a particle of the precious truth that he has been pleased to reveal to you. Don't give up any of his truth for any reason. It says, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. I will keep it. I will guard it. I will protect it. I'll preserve it. I'll hold it fast, and I will make it mine and never give it up. That's what he's saying here. And you see, in our day and age, that's what's happening all around. What we have today is what's called the religion of convenience. Not what's right, but what's convenient. In other words, what a lot of people do is when they decide what to do with God's Word, the first thing they think about is their ease and their comfort and their pleasure, right? What's convenient? What's not going to cause me any pain or suffering? What's the easy way out? What's the path of least resistance? That's the way they go. And so even if it means going against what God says, that's what they're going to guide their life by. Their watchword is peace at any price, even if it's the price of truth. They'll give up the truth for any reason. And that shows they really don't have it, and they really don't value it like they should. All right, we should have a religion not of convenience, a religion of conviction. In other words, this truth has been burned into my very soul. If God has really done a work in my heart, I know what's right, and I will keep doing what God says, no matter what it takes. And no one will ever convince me otherwise or get me to do different. We're to earnestly contend for the faith, not run from the faith. And that's why we are to live and die faithfully wielding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, a true Christian is a man without a price. You cannot buy off a Christian. You know why? He's already been bought. He's not his own. Christ has purchased us forever with his own blood. And no one can offer you anything that's more valuable than the blood of Christ, because that's the only way our sins can be taken away. And so no matter what a person may offer us, we can't sell the truth. There's no price high enough for us to give up that which is most precious, which cost Jesus Christ his own life on the cross so that we could have it. And so the Bible says, hold fast to the end. The rejoicing of your confidence. But if any man draw back, it says, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. But we should rather be those who keep on believing to the very end, who believe to the saving of our soul. And that's what God said, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Now let me close with three examples. I want to first give you an example of a man who refused to buy the truth. Remember the rich young ruler? A rich man came to Jesus. He fell on his knees before the Lord. And he said, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And he said, you know, you're not to commit adultery, you're not to steal, you know, you're not to lie, and you're to keep the commandments. He said, well, I've done that, but what else is there I should do? There's still something missing. He says, do you really want to have eternal life? He says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. Alright? Sell all your riches and become my disciple. You know what he said? He couldn't do it. He went away sorrowful because he had so many possessions. That's too much. He wouldn't buy the truth. He decided his earthly possessions were more valuable than his soul's salvation. Well, there's a man who didn't buy the truth. There was a man who sold the truth. You know who that was? Judas Iscariot. He claimed to be a disciple of Christ. He walked with him for 3.5 years. But in his heart, he never really believed. And then he wanted to betray Christ. And he thought, hey, I can make some money off of this. So what did he say? If you'll give me money, I will tell you how you can find him to take him and arrest him and put him to death. And they made an agreement to give him 30 pieces of silver. Jesus is the truth, and Judas sold his soul and sold his Savior for 30 pieces of silver. He sold the truth, and he didn't keep it. Well, can I give you a man who bought the truth and sold it not? You know who that was? The Apostle Paul. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He was a rich man. He was a powerful man. He was a very religious man. He had everything this world had to offer. You know what he found out? He found out that Jesus Christ was the only Savior and the only way to God. And you know what he did? He turned his back on everything he had so that he could find salvation in Jesus Christ. He says, what things were gained to me? All those things I used to know before I was saved, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. In other words, to know Jesus Christ and to have eternal life in him, I gave up everything. He says, for him I have suffered the loss of all things. And did he regret it? No, he says, I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know what he's saying there? He was a merchant, and he took all the things he had in this world, all the things the world had to offer. You know what he said? You know what their value is? Manure. That's what the word dung is, manure. They're not worth manure. Then he looked at Christ, and he said, he's the most valuable one of all. To have him is to have something that's excellent, something that's more precious than anything this world has to offer. All right, so he came to Christ. He gave up everything to be saved. Did he stay with the Lord? Did he ever tell the truth? He lived a long life of service for the Lord. He suffered terribly for the Lord. It was not an easy thing for Paul to be a Christian. You know what he said just before he died? You know how he died? He had his head cut off for being a believer and for preaching the gospel. But even that didn't stop him. He was a martyr for the faith. Here's what he said. just before he dies. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready. It's my time to die. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I didn't give it up. I didn't sell it. I kept it. Henceforth, because of this, from now on, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I'm going to get a reward, a great reward. When? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, at the judgment day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. You know what Paul's saying there? When it comes your time to die, death is not an easy thing to face. And the only way you can face death without fear is to be able to say, I'm saved by Jesus Christ and I live my life for him. And then when the judgment day comes, when God stands on his throne and all the universe is gathered before him to give an account for our life, so that some will come to heaven and some will be cast into hell, the only way to be ready to stand before God on the judgment day and to be received into heaven and to be happy forever is to be able to say, I believed in Jesus Christ, I was saved by him, and now I have lived my life for him and I have nothing to worry about. God himself is going to approve my life because of Jesus Christ and my relationship to him. So, it's very important, isn't it, that we buy the truth and sell it not, both in this life, and it's important for the life to come. It's the only way to have God be able to say, well done, instead of having to say, depart from me, forever. Let's close in prayer. Father, how we praise you and thank you for your precious truth of the Scriptures, and how it tells us of a Savior, the only Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, and of what he has done for us when he gave his life on the cross, and how he rose again the third day and ascended to heaven, and is now there, ready to receive and to save all who come to God by him. And Lord, that's the gospel, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and how he was buried, how he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and all who come to Christ by faith will have salvation given to them by the free grace of God. It's a gift for all who will put their trust in your Son. So, Father, we pray that each one here has done that. And if anyone here has not done that, that they would do that. And that they might find that the salvation of their soul is precious. And Lord, we pray that we who have done that would prove that we've done that by showing that we value your truth above everything in this world. That we would live for you, that we would obey your word and put Jesus Christ first in our lives. That we would not let go of what you have shown us, no matter what may come against us. Thank you, Father, for the time we've had to think about these things. We pray your blessing upon us now as we close this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.